Well, again, it's been a privilege to be here, and I tell him, Pastor Mike, that there's about four or five churches that I have preached at more than once, and they invite me back, which is always surprising. But this has been one of those churches that I often think of with fond remembrance, and many reasons why. So I'm going to ask you again to turn to a passage of Scripture that I think gives us some perspectives when we think of friends. It's found in Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter 10. This might be a shorter message. I did condense it a little bit because I was, again, somewhat afraid that I might lose my voice. But it's kept up, so I'm thankful to the Lord. Luke chapter 10, verse 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Well, let's again look to the Lord. Father, again, we cry to you as the God we know hears our cries. You heard the cry of your Son in that garden when he cried out, Abba, Father. And we have the privilege as well to cry out to you, Abba, Father, when we are in our needs, when we are overwhelmed with the cares of life. And we are thankful again that we can be assured of your listening ear, in your sympathetic heart, that you are a God who has loved us from eternity past. And we pray again that you would grace us with your presence. If you are not here, we labor in vain. And so we ask you to help those who sit, that you would help them as they seek to labor to hear, and help the preacher as he seeks to labor to preach. And we ask this in your Son's name. Amen. I'm sure most of you have done some fishing, boating, swimming, and you probably also know that you can get pulled in certain directions by the wind or by the underwater currents, whether it's a river, lake, or ocean. And before you know it, you're further and further away from the shoreline. And there's a lot of winds or river currents in our culture that are pulling us away from the shoreline of deep friendships and deep marriages. Powerful cultural winds and river currents that are at work in our world and particularly in American society at large. We could call them, I'm sure there are more, but I've called them the four great depth killers or the four major relationship winds or water currents that are constantly pulling us away from having or developing deep relationships. And here they are in their simple, short form. Busyness is number one. Number two is technology. Number three is mobility. And number three is superficiality. Those are the four river currents that are pulling people away from depth of friendships. Busyness, technology, mobility, and superficiality. Let's start with number one, busyness. Busyness is probably the biggest problem people have today when it comes to relationships. You've heard that expression, haven't you? Crazy busy. And it does seem that we are getting more and more busy. As a society unravels morally and spiritually, the harsher, I believe, and the more demanding it becomes. Here's a question worth asking. I've asked it over the years. Are we going back to Egypt with the harsh taskmasters who impose a different kind of slavery, technological slavery, iPhones and Zoom calls and 100 emails and voicemails and texting? Now, busyness is not bad in itself. There's many things about busyness that can be good. It just all depends on what are you busy doing. And here we can see, I think, a selfish kind of busyness as well as what you would call a serving, helping, giving busyness. And when we read our Bibles and even go particularly to the life of Jesus, you could simply argue that was there a busier man than Jesus? He was always on the go. On one occasion, remember, he had done so much preaching and healing on one particular day, gets into the boat, falls asleep in the midst of a storm. The Apostle Paul was a busy, busy man, planting churches, caring for all the churches, writing those epistles. But both men, if you watch or zoom lens their lives, both men were able to engage people at a deep level. They had time for friends. Jesus spent a lot of time with the 12 disciples. He spent some time with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He loved them, so he obviously was spending time with them. But there were three of the 12 that he spent more time with, Peter, James, and John. As far as the Apostle Paul, I find it striking when you read the greatest, arguably the greatest letter ever written, the book of Romans, which most people would say it is the most theologically shaped. It is perhaps the most difficult book to exegete. But when you come to the last chapter, what does he say? He talks about 28 people he knows. And he calls several of them beloved, I think 8 times. Which suggests that he was not just a guy who people he knew, but he had obviously engaged them at a deep level. They were near and dear to him. Obviously, he didn't allow busyness to distance or detach himself from developing close relationships and maintaining them. Somehow, he stayed linked with precious friends. And so coming back again to the strong water or wind current of busyness, that can inhibit and curtail a depth of relationship. And I do believe Jesus addresses the very problem of busyness in a very forthright way in Luke chapter 10. And the person that is profiled is Martha, sometimes called Busy Martha. Now, I have a hard time criticizing Martha. It would be real nice if you had people who were in your church who were like Martha, like servants. Just give me Martha-like servants. They're great, wonderful. Give me 100 Marthas and you have a wonderful group of people who serve and give in so many different ways. But there's something wrong here, isn't there? And the first hint we have of that is in verse 40 of Luke 10. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Distracted, that's a negative word. She's preoccupied, she's overwhelmed. And again, who hasn't felt something of the Martha syndrome? Overwhelmed with life, so much to do, only so many hours in the day. But there's something here with Martha that doesn't ring well. She brings her complaint into the public arena. She's fretting. She's fussing. And she complains to Jesus about her sister right in front of her sister. She could have taken Mary aside, talked to her privately. But that's not what she does. And she creates what you could say a relational tension in the room by her critical, fault-finding tongue. And Jesus immediately, He responds immediately, locks into the problem. Martha, Martha, you are troubled and worried about many things. Martha, don't be upset with your sister. She's not the problem. In fact, she has the solution to your problem. And notice Jesus commends her sister. Verse 43, Mary has chosen the good part or portion. And what is Mary doing? She's spending time at the feet of Jesus. She's learning from Jesus. She's prioritizing her time with Jesus. Martha has to some degree devalued her friendship with Jesus. It's not getting priority. Her friendship with Jesus has been temporarily sidelined by her busyness of hospitality. And yes, it's a wonderful thing to see someone as conscientious as Martha, helping people, giving, serving, but we don't want to forget this. Doing things for Jesus is different from spending time with Jesus. Doing things for your friends is different from spending time with your friends. To know Jesus, we have to spend time in His presence. That's the reason why He's given us a prayer closet. That's the reason why He's given us a weekly Lord's Day to spend time with Him. That's what Mary is doing. She has a Jesus come first worship lifestyle. And friendships, deep friendships, require that we spend time with one another. You have to spend time with your friends if you're going to go deep. Share our struggles with sin. Share our burdens, our fears, our joys. Share the climate of our souls, which means we have to prioritize those relationships. Now again, we have to be careful here. You can't help but appreciate Martha. One of the most wonderful things about the Christian faith is it turns selfish people into servants. But we got to be careful, don't we, of imbalance and losing perspective and allowing busyness to get the best of us. How do we avoid escape the Martha syndrome? Well, there's no easy, simple answer, but I do think Mary can help us. She knew where to go and what to do. Mary prioritizes her relationship with Jesus. It wasn't that Martha made a bad choice, but Mary made the best choice. And here's where it starts for all of us. It starts by devoting yourself to the Word of God and prayer and public worship. Spending time with Jesus. He does promise to be here when we gather in His name. And not only does that friendship grow, but it also impacts our other friendships and relationships. Kevin DeYoung, in his book titled Crazy Busy, listen to what he says. I know of no single practice which brings more peace and discipline to my life than sitting at the feet of Jesus. That's worth quoting, isn't it? I know of no single practice that brings more peace and discipline to my life than sitting at the feet of Jesus. The second major wind or strong current that can pull us away from the shoreline of deep friendship is technology. The internet and technology has brought a lot of changes into our lives. In many ways, helpful. It's been a great way to keep in contact with people. Texting, Facebook, FaceTime, emailing are wonderful ways. When we first got married, my wife and I moved to Canada, away from her parents, and she could only talk to her mother once a week, every other week, on the phone. That's all she, half an hour. That's all we can afford. Today, you can talk every 5 minutes. See faces, right? See faces. So the internet and technology is not necessarily a bad thing. It can even help connect us with family, with friends, but any good thing can become a bad thing if it's taken the place or begins to act as a substitute. And the best of God's gifts can get us into trouble and take us to places we never thought we'd go. And most people would agree there's a greater fight for solitude in the tech world than ever before. And even how we communicate can be shaped by our tech world. Good and bad. Friends can sit across the table at a coffee shop and enjoy friendship, but not with each other, but with their friends on the other end of phones. You know who they remind me of? Job's friends. They were there, but they really weren't there. They weren't listening to Job. They were just willing for him to stop so they could criticize him. They didn't sympathize with Job at the deepest level. So yes, we can be there, but not be there. Friendships generally need face-to-face engagement, listening ears, and even a physical touch. It's interesting how many times, this hit me like a ton of bricks during COVID. The face-to-face. We were separated from a church family for about 2 or 3 months. We didn't come together. And I thought, there's something terribly wrong with this. And it was that face-to-face fellowship, the holy kiss. Why does Paul talk about a holy kiss and having face-to-face? He's assuming physicality. He's assuming you're there. That you can see them, that you can touch them, that you can hold them, that you can hug them. There's a level of physical affection and deep sharing when it comes to the Christian faith. And if our friendships rely upon sending emails and texts, it's like snacking or eating food, processed food, as opposed to a 5-course meal. Technology tends to depersonalize communication. Another way in which technology has impacted our relationships, and I mentioned this earlier, in terms of friends, some people kind of get impressed by how many friends they have. I got 500 Facebook friends, but they're incredibly lonely. Do you have one good friend? One good reason why those relationships never go very deep. It's sort of like drinking diluted wine. Proverbs 18, verse 24, I'm reading from the ESV. I think it's a better translation than the New King James. A man of many companions may come to ruin. A man of many friends can come off as a loser. That sounds pretty strong, a loser. Too many friends, it's like too much wine or too much sun or too much food, can be a detriment. What are some of the depth killers? What are some of the ways in which cultural winds and ocean currents are pulling us away from the shoreline of deep friendships? Well, there's the cultural wind, strong current of busyness. There's the cultural wind and strong current of technology. The third major cultural wind or current that is pulling us away from deep friendships is the cultural wind and strong current of mobility. We live in a very mobile society, far more mobile than any other society in human history. We travel more, we fly more, we drive more, we move more. We're not locked into any geographical location like our ancestors. On average, every 2 to 3 years, people are on the move, moving from one town to the next town to a bigger city. My father was a mining engineer. Growing up, we moved 4 times. I think my mother said all together in terms of their marriage, 11 times they moved. And every time it was about job. It was about my dad wanting to go place and be challenged and enjoy a career move. Young people move, what for? Education. Work transfers. Better job. Retirement. How many seniors get drawn to the sunny state of Florida? And you can make friends in Florida. I think that's okay. But it takes time to make friends for the roots to go down deep. But we move because we think the move is important. It captures something of our value system. Education's important. The new job's important. My career's important. The weather's important for my psoriasis or my arthritis. My health is important. But here's the question. I don't think I've ever heard anyone ask, what about your friends? Aren't they important? Have Have you ever heard anybody say, I'm moving because of my friend? Maybe you've heard some people say that, but I've never heard that. We need friends more than we need job promotions. Making friends is more important than making money and having a nice home or a beach home. J.C. Ryle, again, that's the quote I love to quote, friendships half our sorrows and double our joys. That sounds like it's pretty important. To double your joys, that sounds like we should put a high value on friendships, maybe more than anything else. What are some of the cultural winds and strong currents that are pulling us away from the shoreline? Friendship, busyness, technology, mobility. And here's the fourth one, the final one. The strong wind or the water current of superficiality. We live in a culture of superficiality. We are constantly bombarded by the trivia, the superficial social media that promotes what? Not deep thinking, but very superficial thinking. We live in a society that thrives on fun, entertainment, blockbuster movies, video games, a society that's not known for its substance and depth. And I guarantee you, more people get excited about going to the beach and going to football games on Sunday than attending church. And worshiping the God of the Bible and the Jesus Christ to accomplish the greatest rescue operation ever. Believe it or not, there's something more significant than kicking a pigskin ball up and down a field and cheering your hometown team. Why are more people not running to Jesus Christ, not concerned about their never-dying souls or the great issues of life? I think we become so enamored with the here and now, we are suffering from a superficial epidemic. The rich man of Luke 16. Growing their crops, building their barns, having great stock investments. Let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And the sports mania and the pleasure mania of our day witnesses to an inch-deep spirituality of our day. Superficiality is like a hidden cancer. Aristotle said, when does a fish know it's wet? Well, it doesn't, right? It's always wet. When do you know you have cancer? Most people don't know they have cancer. Until it's too late. We've allowed the insignificant to become the significant. And the most significant appears to be insignificant. And even when the world talks about the devil, they make him a joke. Sometimes they want us to laugh, not take him all that seriously. The great hymns of the faith, to a large degree, have been replaced by ditties. More and more people are pulling back from a full Sabbath day. They prefer what one is called a McSabbath. Like a McDonald's. Get in, get out. As fast as I can get in and get out. Just get me what I want. 5 minutes sermon would do great. There is a pervasive epidemic of superficiality that impacts our relationships across the board. Let's be honest. Like attracts like. Hollywood attracts Hollywood. And superficial people attract superficial people. You can often tell a person's character by the people he hangs around or spends time with. And that's why I would encourage even young people, I said this, I think, earlier this week, young people, develop friendships with older people. Believe it or not, they're a little bit smarter than you are. A little bit wiser. They've had more experiences in life. Why don't you glean from them? Not just be around people your own age. Call it intergenerational friendships. Older saints generally have more to offer you in terms of knowledge. They are men and women who have walked with God for a long time. Take advantage. Spurgeon put it this way. Keep the best company. Be much with those who are much with God. Let them be the choicest companions who have made Christ their choicest companion. Don't get hung up on same age. Friendships. Enrich your life. Enrich your life and potential for growth in godliness by high quality friendships. Timothy, I'm sure, loved the fact that he had an older mentor friend like Paul. Think of all that he learned from Paul. And Paul could even say that about Timothy. I have none like Timothy. He valued that relationship. You can have a lot of superficial digital Facebook friendships, but look for someone who wants to go deep, who makes this his life ambition, to know Jesus Christ, to share in his sufferings, and the power of his resurrection. Look for a friend whose mind is set upon heavenly things, whose mind is set upon the glory to come. Look for a friend who wants to talk more about Jesus than politics. They want to go deep with Christ and His gospel. Even go deeper when it comes to understanding their sin struggles. But here's the big problem with superficiality. If you desire deep, spiritual, life-changing friendships, you have to be deep yourself. And that will necessitate growing, hungering more for Jesus and knowing Him. Go back to Mary. She chose the good part. She made Jesus her priority. Knowing Him. A friend who knows Christ will be a friend who knows their Bible. So make good use of your Bible. Study it. Dig into it. Relish it. Let's not run so easily into the world and soak our minds into superficiality of its music and social media. Here's the question you have to ask yourself. It's a probing question. It really is this. Where does your friendship start? Does it start with Christ? Do you know Him? Do you know Him as a friend? And there's no doctrine, I think, more important than the doctrine of Christology. Ecclesiology, I'm not going to say that's not important, but I don't think, the older I get, not my eschatology, not my ecclesiology, but the doctrine of God and the doctrine of Christ, those are the most important doctrines. Knowing God, knowing Christ, not just about Christ, but knowing Christ. And listen, it will take eternity. You will never fully know Him completely and exhaustively, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom. Even in heaven, we will be on a learning curve. When God becomes your friend, and when Jesus becomes your friend, He does make the best of friends. One reason why, I thought about this, is not off the cuff, so long time, maybe 10, 15 years. Why did Jesus fight so hard for the Sabbath day? You read the Gospel of Luke, 6 times He takes on the Pharisees over the Sabbath. What's He fighting for? He's seeking to bring the Sabbath back to its original state and condition. The Pharisees had perverted it and changed it and made it a day of bondage. And Jesus is seeking to liberate them. That's why He's fighting, because He knows how desperately we need a Sabbath day or a Lord's Day. You can quibble over whether you want to call it a Sabbath or a Lord's Day, but is it a day? I don't see an hour. I see a day. A day. Jesus wants you to enjoy your Sabbath day because He wants you to enjoy Him. He wants to spend time with you. He wants you to spend time with Him. And so He gives you a whole day to spend with Him. So we should pray that we would be Christ-like friends and have Christ-like friends. And again, as I said several times, one of life's greatest gifts is the gift of a friend. We need friends. I don't think we really know just how much we need friends. John Piper puts it as strong as I've heard anybody. You need friends or you die. You die. We need one another. We were never meant to run that race and run it alone. We need help every step of the way. And that's something worth praying for. Give me a friend who will stick closer than a brother and help me to be that kind of friend. I need a friend, and not just you need a friend, but your friends need you. It goes both ways. You need them, and they need you. Be that kind of a friend. And according to Jesus, it's more blessed to give than to receive. So let's pray for good friends, and let's be good friends. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again we thank you that you are the God you are, the God of grace and mercy. We are thankful that you condescend by seeking even to be our friend and to put yourself under that picture, that graphic of a friend. And we do pray, Lord, that we would relish this friendship that we have with you and with your Son more and more and more and grow in our love for you. We pray, Lord, for everyone who's sitting here that they would also see the vital necessity of knowing you and loving you and serving you and growing in their knowledge of you. We do pray, Lord, this church here would continue to grow, that you continue to prosper them, bless the ministries, and may we hear again, Lord, of you bringing sinners into this congregation who know Jesus Christ as a true friend and are serving Him. And we pray all of this in His name. Amen.